from their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Around the NFL podcast. Always wear sunscreen outdoors.
Gotta do it.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. I'll do it if I'm on like the golf course, if I'm at the beach, but not everywhere I go. I'm not powder. I typically venture outside.
No, you're a man who wears his tan if he was out doing some yard work. That drop is not true. It was not true of our great friend Wes. He often would not put the sunscreen on his dome. We're going to have Daniel Jeremiah in later this week, on Wednesday. And famously, Wes just burned the hell out of the top of his head when he went to a Padres game.
With Lakeisha, a Padres-Cardinals game a few years back. And yeah, I think that's one thing, the guys that shave their heads or are just bald, you know, sometimes you have the horseshoe bald guys, but you don't see that so much anymore, by the way. You ever notice that?
Human heads are evolving.
Remember, it used to be...
No, people just shave it down. It doesn't look good. You look older if you just...
I'm batting them bald.
Yeah,
and now I have this, like, math teacher ring around. Which, by the way, if you're listening and you have that look, I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying you don't see it as much anymore.
You're just saying grow up a little and just shave the rest.
Well, you can get with the times. It's not a death sentence being bald. You shave it, and, like, Wes is a perfect example. Nice shaped head. I thought he looked a lot better once he was fully shorn compared to the photos we saw when he was younger and losing it.
What was up with like Friars? Remember their haircuts? They've got a full head of hair and they shave the top of the head.
It's a disgrace.
I don't know what we're doing there.
It's a disgrace.
Is it to make yourself less attractive so you're not tempted if you're in that position, I guess?
I mean, if that's the history, it's pretty messed up. But it probably worked. You know, ladies are into Friars?
No, not typically.
All right, where are we? We're not.
We're Tuesday.
We are not at the hotel, the Biltmore in Phoenix, but that's where the NFL annual meetings are this week, also known as the owners' meetings. And, you know, the timing of the show, and I think I might have said last week that DJ was going to be on our Tuesday show. No, be on the lookout tomorrow when we roll out a DJ special. Today we decided there were so many little nugs, big and small, that came out of the Monday owners meetings, Greggy. Why don't we just dig through it and kind of cull through the sound? Because I don't know about you, Greg, but as the day went along on Monday into Tuesday, it struck me that it felt a little more newsy than the typical owners meetings.
And we got the rules. Although the rules were less newsy, I feel like, than
they were
usual.
Almost,
but you're right.
They're almost playful.
There are a number of issues sort of hanging around at this time of year that aren't necessarily that we're waiting for some big ones to drop, but a lot of little nuggets. So these were like my favorite sort of news days. Where it's just
if you take away the quarterback narratives that have been hanging out.
Right.
The Lamar and Aaron Rodgers. If you removed all of that,
then it'd be normal, I would say, yes.
Even less than normal, I think. I think that's just like these dramas continue. There's news each day. There's new developments each day. You got Lamar tweeting left and right. You got, you know, dropping his tweets right before John Harbaugh talks. I mean, it was well-played drama.
There's transition point right there.
Yeah.
Let's get into all the news from Phoenix and beyond.
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
That is, of course. I mean, who else could it be? But Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Dolphins, who was answering a question about the Washington football team, who he was connected with at a point in his career, and I guess he didn't get free coffee when he was there. Read into that however you want.
I mean, I'm just reading in the facts. Who doesn't get free coffee at work? An NFL team that's about to be sold for $6 billion. It's happening, Washington fans. You only have to hang on for, it sounds like, maybe like even only a month more. There's reports of two different bids over $6 billion, which is what Snyder was looking for. The long reign is almost over.
Don't,
so that's the
jinx
good.
It.
Almost.
Yeah,
I know.
Not, just don't say,
I know people
word.
Were hoping it might happen this week, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be this week, but it really feels like this offseason.
We'll circle back to Washington just a little bit later, but let's start where we have to start, which is Lamar Jackson. So the way this timed up was as the coaches settled in, and you guys have been at the Mark, paint a picture, the owners' meetings, and specifically the coaches' breakfast, as it's known.
Yeah, you have the AFC one day, and the next day would be the NFC, or they'd flip-flop that. And you've got 16 round tables with chairs around them so that each of the coaches can sit down for an hour. And a lot of them have come from about 3 or 4 hours of sleep after a late night of drinking. That's sort of what happens at these owners' meetings too. And they're barraged by their local beat reporters and national reporters with questions of the day. And Harbaugh, you know, sat down literally at the moment, like Lamar Jackson had just sent out this tweet that we'll get into about his whole situation.
I think 2 minutes after Harbaugh said that.
Right. And so
probably not a coincidence.
Not at
guess.
All. Well planned.
But here is the tweet that Lamar sends out just as John Harbaugh sits down. In regards to my future plans, nice setup. I like it. Give me some missive music. This feels missive-y. Great setup. I wish he used a colon after plans, though. But we won't dock him. In regards to my future plans, as of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens has not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that has met me or been around me, I love the game of football, and my dream is to help a team.
Win the Super Bowl. There's an extra. There's a little more to that. But
okay.
Yeah.
But you get the gist.
Yeah.
Greggy, then, of course, Harbaugh is asked about it. Do we have Harbaugh sound? Here's what Harbaugh had to say on the topic.
We made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson 5 years ago, right? Why? Because we love him. We love him. We love the way he plays. We
there
love
you
go. His mindset, his charisma, his style, the way he is in the locker room. Everything about him. We love him. I love him personally. I love being the coach of the team that he's playing quarterback for. So that's what you do. You know, you build the team around your players, and that's what I'm excited to do. Lamar is a great guy, and Lamar's doing a nice job with the negotiations. And I think that needs to be said. People need to understand he's doing a good job, okay? And Eric's doing a good job. And Eric's getting advice from Ozzie and from Steve. And all those things are being discussed. Yeah, I'm involved in those conversations too, so I know where we're at. There really is no frustration other than the natural normal, hey, this is how pro football works, you know, and I think, you know, Lamar believes in us and we believe in Lamar, and we know where we want to go forward. So it's a monetary thing that can be figured out, that can be worked out. That's just a matter of negotiating, and I think we just continue down that road, and eventually it'll work out. There's always going to be creative ways to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, my takeaway from Harbaugh, the way he approached that was, even though Lamar's out here saying trade me, there still does seem a path forward between these two teams. It's still a financial situation. And quite frankly, to me, Greg, the fact that no team has emerged and aggressively sought out Lamar is the best possible situation for Baltimore, who I think do want to stay in business with the quarterback ultimately.
Well, they better. What else are they going to do? They don't have anything. They got Snoop Huntley, who was
Well, I'll tell you what they would do. If he did end up leaving the team, they'd probably take a reset year and then attack the quarterback position this draft or the next.
Or they have multiple first-round picks.
I get it, but John Harbaugh was close to losing his job when Lamar Jackson showed up and saved it. I believe John Harbaugh wants Lamar Jackson to be there with every fiber of his being. It's not really up to him. And so I agree with your take, Dan, that he's trying to keep the lights on. But we're all in a hurry because we all cover this each and every week. But there's really nothing other than the draft coming up that's a flashpoint here for Lamar. And
is that a flashpoint?
Maybe we should do a flashpoint with Baltimore.
Interesting. However, flashpoint should almost lift the veil on something that's about to happen. This is happening.
It also said drive through the executive producers of the project, which is you and I.
That's also true. Would have liked to hear the Flashpoint theme song there.
He kind of missed it. Yeah. There you go. There you go, Justin.
I guess my point in raising that with the Ravens, though, is at some point in the draft is kind of the point. If we get past it and he's still on the team, the Ravens are truly need him more than he needs them. Now, he wants the contract. He wants everything that comes with it. But I think we've seen with Lamar Jackson, and I think they know this too, that I actually think he would stand on principle and just not play. And they are in a tough spot too. It's been almost talked about that it's like a money thing. They don't want to pay the money. They're not going to pay the money. Lamar's being stupid about the money, but they need him as a player. And so that I'm not really sure how that gets worked out here, and we'll see if another team steps up.
I'm with you in the sense that there is a storyline here where we get to the summer and this is not figured out and Lamar Jackson does not play this season. I just think I don't think you tweet out.
I think everyone loses. Let's just be clear. Everyone loses, including Lamar, if that's how this plays out. A great athlete in his prime.
But a couple months ago, if we had said Lamar Jackson is going to be available in a trade, I think the common understood theory would be that a bunch of teams would come running. You have instead the opposite, where it's like you have Jim Irsay, who the Colts have been the most logical landing spot, right? Jim Irsay, during these owners' meetings, said, I am not interested in this guaranteed money. I'm interested in paying him, and we can find a way to make a fair deal, but the guaranteed money is a real sticking point with these teams. They don't want to do it. And, you know, it's funny because it's like Laremy Tunsil signed that contract a couple weeks ago, and to me, he never had an agent, and you didn't really even notice that. I'm noticing it with Lamar Jackson. The idea that he is operating agent-free and that he shouldn't have had a deal a year ago, if not 2 years ago. Josh Allen has made $67 million over the last 2 years. Lamar Jackson, 25. But they were drafted in the same class.
Right. Well, Josh Allen made, $20 million more off the top of because he was drafted
That's
higher.
That's fine, but it's because he's got a second deal with an agent.
Part of that story, too, is that the Ravens were not giving Lamar Jackson anything close to Josh Allen's contract at the time, which now looks like a great deal for the Bills. But that was the whole reporting, was that they weren't offering anything close to the market deal at the time. I mean, I'm with you. It's all a mess. It might be different if he did have an agent. But I think at this point,
But that he has also got this, this is the problem, because you have this Ken Francis figure who emerges from the mist, who is contacting teams a week ago on behalf of Lamar Jackson, which is against league rules. And ultimately, I know the league seems to not be doing too much about that kind of thing, but that's the kind of thing that could null and void the concept of a deal.
Yeah, that reporting's been questioned too.
Okay, but teams are concerned about the fact that Lamar Jackson is being contacted through others by other people. Like, that's not how he's meant to act on his own behalf. He's the only person who should be talking to these teams.
I guess my thing is just everyone's in a hurry for all this, and I'm more willing to see where we're at after the draft, because the reporting in terms of the Colts that they're very open to it, to me sounds like at some point they're gonna make an offer. I would think that's more likely than not.
To that point, transition. So since Lamar dropped that tweet, that became obviously a talking point, and maybe it would have been either way, but especially once Lamar puts himself in the news cycle in a pointed way like that. So Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, he was asked about Lamar. And of course, when you talk about Lamar, it connects immediately to what is said to be Lamar's ultimate driving goal, is to get a fully guaranteed deal. And Irsay had this to say: as an owner, I do not believe in fully guaranteed contracts. I think that a percentage is one thing, but from what I've seen from the NBA and baseball, I don't see it as a positive competitively. Now I want to play something Pete Carroll, who was asked about Lamar Jackson and whether Lamar, former MVP, 26 years old, was ever considered before they made the decision to move forward with Geno Smith.
Was Lamar Jackson ever considered an option for you guys?
No, I couldn't imagine he would be available, and we couldn't afford him.
Couldn't afford him. And then I'll just, because it connects to the other big story, Joe Douglas, GM of the Jets, was asked about Lamar. Would he be a fallback player if the Aaron Rodgers negotiations dragged out to a point where the Jets felt like they needed to pivot?
Yeah, well, first of all, Lamar Jackson's a fantastic player. But, you know, where we stand is, you know, it would be disingenuous and operating, negotiating in bad faith if we went down that path. So right now we have our plan, we have our process, and we're sticking to that.
And finally, I'll read a quote from Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, because so much of this is the ground zero is what happened a year ago with Deshaun Watson. Jimmy Haslam, you always wonder, I wonder, if the Browns could do it again, would they do it? Like right here,
right
before we even know if Watson will ever be a player of that level again, would they go through it all again? Here's what Haslam said about that now infamous decision to give a fully guaranteed contract as it continues to what was the analogy I made that I was quite proud of myself. Do you remember the analogy?
I mean, there are a few of those, but
you kind of have to narrow that down more.
It will come to me.
Okay. Here,
Jimmy Haslam, every team, every business has to look and do what they think is in the best interest of their team. We did what we thought was in the best interest of our team. We still feel that way. So we're excited to, if you will, have that stuff behind us. This time last year, how many games is he going to play? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? He's going to be there the whole season now, and barring injury, heaven forbid, he's going to play all 17 games and hopefully more. That, I think, alone is a bigger leap to the organization, to Deshaun, to all of us.
I mean, and Haslam is very comfortable, I just feel like, over his entire run in Cleveland, playing something of a villain, because at these owners' meetings, when you're sitting in these rooms and they're discussing and talking about things that we'll never hear, it's like Haslam has created this problem for the Ravens. He's created this problem for the rest of the teams around the league, and I think other owners are trying to pivot and say, we're not following your lead. Jim Irsay's saying he does not feel comfortable with this kind of a deal. But I think it's also the environment that you don't feel comfortable with is 30 plus other owners saying, don't do this.
Well, it's clear Lamar Jackson's not getting a fully guaranteed contract, and that he's not even going to ask for a fully guaranteed. I think he's looking for something. I think we think about Watson as the thing totally getting in the way. But Kyler, too. I think he looks at Kyler as a player that he wants to top that contract, and it sounds like no one's stepped up, or the Ravens haven't stepped up to that point either. Haslam would be insane, though, to redo that Watson deal right now, knowing what he knows.
But he can't say that, though.
And they can't even think that way. And I'm sure in their minds, they can't even think that way, at least vocalizing it. Like, they have to be all in and just make it work, because you absolutely have to think that way. But it'd be insane to redo that deal, knowing what we know now. Are you kidding me?
Exxon Valdez spill, 89.
Oh, that's right.
Prince William Sound.
Wait, that's the Watson contract?
Yeah, it's an oil spill where the ramifications and consequences continue.
You were proud of the analogy because I mispronounced Valdez.
Oh, that made it a double win.
Right.
Because you stuck to your guns on Valdez.
Well, I don't know if I stuck to my guns, but it would turn into a thing. Yeah.
Here's the thing about
that. Part of me thinks that you remembered what it was, but you didn't want me to remember, because then it would bring up the Valdez thing again.
Yeah, but I literally did just bring it up, though.
Like, he thinks you did that.
I heard from some listeners who said that Valdez is one of those, like, tomato-tomato, both pronunciations are acceptable and one is just more common.
Well, one's correct and one's wrong.
Why have you kept that under your vest until now?
Gondola, like, which one is really right, you know?
No, gondola is not... Even
that was another Sessler debate we had.
Why does he wait till now to share that information?
Rebound,
that there's controversy.
Rebound, like, say it however you want, right?
Graver's on fire right now.
All right. Do you guys want to throw one out that you were you found interesting, or do you want me to just kind of roll through it? I could go either way.
Well, let's get the top level stuff first.
Do we have anything else on the Lamar situation? I feel like we covered it pretty well.
No, that's okay. It. We will next show.
Let's start with Goody, who we heard from, and I think gave us more information than, frankly, I was expecting to get at the owners' meeting from the Packers about the whole Rodgers trade talk.
Is there any scenario that you'd be comfortable making a trade without getting a first-round pick back?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's that's not a necessity, but at the same time, you know, the value of the player is he's a premier player, you know, so I think getting premier picks back for that is, or players is important.
They followed up that comment, which I think was noteworthy, with some more reporting, and the reporting got specific that it's like, maybe it'll be a two this year and it'll be a two next year, but it can move up to a first potentially depending on what the, you know, how the Jets do, and they might be arguing over whether it's stats based or whether Rodgers is still on the team, and it depends.
Are you
on
referencing
which...
the Charles Robinson Yahoo
report?
Yeah,
that was Robinson.
It was shockingly specific in terms of what the terms were.
Right, he was very specific, but you've also heard some of the insiders at our network speak to it in similar tones, but maybe not quite as specific, making me think they had similar information. Just like, this thing's so close. And I get while they're fighting over everything, and the players might be involved, and that matters. But no one's worried about it at all, which is why we've been treating it as a non-story, I think, over the last week and a half, because we're going to find out. And I think now, Dan, you kind of know what the terms roughly are going to be, which is probably a couple picks that aren't first-round picks.
Yeah, if they're saying
with
that...
With some conditions.
They're not... If he's publicly saying... In Arizona, we're not necessarily looking for a first-round pick. At this point,
it's already decided.
It's not going to be, to me, a situation where the heels are so dug in that something truly ugly happens. They should be able to figure
Nobody's
it out.
Nobody's worried.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the reason I think that the Jets also should dig in a little bit, and this tells you that, you know, they're getting into the nitty-gritty, is that there's no, we're going to do this again with Aaron Rodgers next offseason. We don't know that he's going to play for 2 years. And so it needs to be incentive-based, or I think part of it was like if they reached the AFC title game or hosted a divisional round playoff game, certain picks and stuff could change a little bit.
And the Jets might want it to be, does he play in 2024? And
absolutely.
And Goody mentioned the players there. So that's sort of just something to put a pin in, and we'll find out. But I think we learned about
that. And Rap Sheet mentioned that this... There is a world, and it doesn't seem improbable at this point, where, yes, it's going to happen, and there's a lot of money tied up into whether it's the post-June 1st trade and how that all plays out, but this could go right up to draft week, is sort of the feeling to some degree that it wouldn't be improbable for that to occur.
And I wonder, because being the general manager is such a front-facing job, and there's so much interest in terms of what the Packers are going to get from Rodgers, if Goody is kind of massaging the message a little bit and just letting the fan base know a little bit too, like, hey, do not kill me when this trade comes through and it's not a first round pick. I've already dropped a breadcrumb to be ready for how this goes down. Hopefully soon. We'd like to move forward. How about you, Mark? Anything that something jumped out to you from
Arizona? Robert Kraft on a number of topics. Number one, he dropped the nugget that Meek Mill had texted him saying that Lamar Jackson wanted to play for the Patriots. So there's that. And it's just like you're getting the full Robert Kraft experience. But
I mean, come on, man. Well, as my daughter's fifth grade friend said to me, as like I sang along to some song on the way to a movie together, is like, that's very cringe. You know, like Robert Kraft is cringe sometimes.
There's no way that
sneakers with the Meek Mill references.
There's no way that it can't be.
But, wow, Greg, you've never had anything critical before to say about Bob and his sneakers or anything else.
I think you
have. Not about the sneakers.
There have been a couple things.
In fact, I have many times on this show that I don't like it when the three guys are battling. Like that, it's like, oh, Belichick, Kraft, and Brady, the three pillars. And I get it, but like, let's not make
my other side to this was I thought that he was just a little bit chilly on the future of Belichick, because we know that Belichick is 30 wins away from chasing Don Shula's record. And do we have Robert Kraft on that?
Look, I'd like him to break Don Shula's record, but I'm not looking for any of our players to get great stats. That isn't, we're about winning and doing whatever we can to win, and that's what our focus is now. And it's very important to me that we make the playoffs, and that's what I hope happens next year.
And this married into a lot of flowery comments about Jerod Mayo, who they love and who he talked about as someone he hoped might even be a head coach for the team down the road at some point. And then I thought the icing on the cake.
Did that sound like a playoffs or bust mandate?
A little bit. I think so. The icing on the cake was they asked about Matt Patricia and that whole utter debacle from a year ago. And listen to what he had to say here.
I think he got put in a difficult position. And I think it was sort of an experiment. And he worked very hard at it. And in retrospect, I don't think it was the right thing. But and I feel bad for him because he's such a hard worker. He got put in a difficult position.
That is by far, Greggy, and you've been following this team as closely as anyone, the most public in terms of criticism Belichick has ever gotten from his head coach, right? I mean, certainly since the Brady years started, and it really does feel like Kraft is letting the public know that, yeah, like, Bill doesn't just get... I mean, the way, to me, like, that question, the first question that got set up, where it was like, what was it?
The Don Shula business.
If it happens again, a losing season, could Bill's job be in jeopardy? Or is he here to break Don Shula's all-time wins record and beyond? Like, the way to easily answer that question is, like, what Bill Belichick has done for our organization, you can't put a price on it. You can't even begin to explain how important he's been for us, and we want Bill to be here for the rest of his career. Like, and you can just leave it there.
You didn't hear that.
And you don't have headlines. Instead, he made a pointed reference to say, like, listen, records are good, but that we don't just keep people around just to break records, and I want to be in the playoffs next year. This is a big subplot around this team now.
Absolutely. It started at the beginning of the offseason when they released the statements to explain how Jerod Mayo is going to stay, and they said what his new title is going to be. I think they might have even mentioned that he got a raise in the statement, and just like people covering the team were like, it's amazing, and that was clearly Robert Kraft saying, I don't care how you normally do things, that they don't have real titles and we don't announce it till 4 months later and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm announcing this now and this is what we're going to do. And it was felt like a bit of Kraft taking control back of the organization. He's 81 years old, Robert Kraft, too. I don't think he wants to stick around at 7-9, 7-10, all that stuff. And you're absolutely right. I think it might be a playoff or bust scenario for old BB.
One kind of funny, during the setup to that initial question, a reporter said, you know, you guys have posted a losing record in two of the last three seasons. And then Kraft interrupted the reporter and he goes, we were 8-9 last year. When was the, and then the reporter's like, the Cam Newton year. And Kraft was like, oh, the Cam Newton. Yeah. like everyone else.
Yeah.
Kraft forgot that the Cam Newton year exists in Patriots history post Tom Brady.
It was the pandemic year. It was a tough time for everyone. What did they go? Seven. They went 8-9 that year too. I don't even remember.
That was 7-9.
7-9.
So yeah, that's interesting. I thought that was almost like the most fascinating thing that came out of the whole day.
I'm with you. And then they asked Bill Belichick what's the reason fans should be optimistic for what's ahead?
What would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
The last 25 years?
You got to watch the YouTube show. He sits there kind of rocking in his chair, staring at the reporter, then thinking what he's going to say.
And that question is coming from 2 feet away from Mike Reese, who knows just how to ask it and who has been in Foxborough as long, maybe longer uninterrupted than Bill Belichick, actually. And hearing Tom Curran, who asked another one of these key questions for Kraft, and hearing his interpretation of like, Belichick's usually the, like, we're not resting on past history, and we're certainly not worried about individual honors over the team and everything, and that Kraft is really trying to say, like, look, this has been your rules for 20 years. I'm going to make you play by your rules. And it's
saucy.
Fun. It's saucy.
All right, we got a lot more to get to, but let's first take a quick break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite.
Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game.
All right, we're back.
Mark, something else that jumped out to you?
I guess you could go to the sort of split response on Brock Purdy from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
I thought you would be interested in
well,
that.
Well, just, I mean, I think that, you know, and they seem to always sort of be on the same page about things. John Lynch was very optimistic about the concept of Brock Purdy coming back in time for training camp.
I believe the leader in the clubhouse at that. You know, I'll let Kyle make those kind of decisions, but I know when we talk, I think Brock's probably earned that right to be the guy. If we were to line up, he'd probably take that first snap. And I'm really excited about where Trey is at with his progress from his injury. He's been working really hard and, love the opportunity to be able to bring in Sam Darnold and his skill set. We think it's a really good fit. And so we like that. We like that room a lot.
49ers fangirl courtesy there.
Yeah, I mean, and Shanahan talked about the fact that, you know, you're not going to have Purdy until maybe even weeks into the season. And even mentioned that Trey Lance, part of it is like, what is the future of Trey Lance? Is he tradable? Is he actually having a chance? Lynch mentioned, you know, there's a chance he could start again. But Brock Purdy is in the fly in the ointment here. And Shanahan mentioned Trey Lance and Sam Darnold even competing for the starting job early on in the season.
Now, we believe Trey can be that. I think he would have done it last year if he stayed healthy. The good thing for him is with Brock being hurt and stuff, he has an opportunity to try to regain that and everything. And that's also why we brought in Sam, because we can't be set for sure on Brock, because you never know how the injury will go. We think it will go well, and we're optimistic about it, but right now that's on hold.
Mm. I mean, Shanahan, it's an early morning. Wouldn't surprise me if he was one of those coaches that was out late.
Just
feels like
it surprised
loose.
Me if he wasn't.
He's got a lot of friends there, and it looks like it might have been
the
late night.
He looks pretty tired.
But he's like, I'm going to be on camera here. I'm going to put it together. My hair is going to look good. And you're not going to really know that I was the guy out there late last night. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, it's important.
I would say there's some indication he was one of those guys
I
just based on the
I guess what I'm saying, though,
looks.
Some come in, though, and they're just, they put the hat on. They're sort of like grumbling. They're haggard. He's at least trying to put a good face on it, is what I'm trying
to say. Nice head of hair.
How about,
by the way, Sam Darnold's starting for this team. There's no question about it.
Well, they say there's reports connecting Purdy to like mid-September, maybe.
Right.
When they say that at this point in the offseason, that's usually like,
a sign.
It's a bad sign.
But maybe why are you mid-season. So confident? Is it injury related for Trey Lance, or you just think he's going to beat out Trey Lance? I mean, it's not like it's been a leadership change.
I just think they like Sam Darnold, and the fact that Trey Lance is going to split reps with him right off the bat. And I know Trey Lance is coming off an injury, and that's part of it too. And there's a little buzz of like, is Trey Lance ever going to take snaps for the 49ers again? Could this just be Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy this year?
You can trade Trey Lance.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like if it starts looking, I think they're excited about Sam Darnold, and we'll see if they stay excited.
If they trade Trey Lance, I mean, his value is higher than Zach Wilson, who's taken a pick before him, I would think, but are they that much different in terms of if you put them on the market, what are you expecting to get back? You're probably going to have to eat salary, right? And you're maybe a mid-round pick. Maybe you could talk someone into a three. I just don't think he's shown enough in addition to the injury issues to have much trade value.
And I mean, I am pro Brock Purdy to the end of days, but I also would feel like, yes, that was a magical run, but do you not need to see a little bit more from him post-injury before you move Trey Lance and roll with Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy?
Yeah, we'll see. It's a big offseason for Lance. I think, yeah, depending on how he looked in the preseason, if he played and looked good, you make a good point. He would not have amazing trade value. I think there'd be a difference. Zach Wilson, you maybe get very little for, and Trey Lance would be like a mid-round pick, but that's pretty disappointing when you traded three first-round picks to go get him.
Right, and I'm a Darnold fan, obviously, but if I'm running the Niners, like, I am giving Trey Lance a chance.
Absolutely.
Like, that way I know. Right. Like, I have this window here where I have Purdy on the shelf, and now we could give Lance some run and really know for sure whether or not the guy that you were drafting is who you thought or hoped he was. Anyway,
it's not controversial. Trey Lance actually said a while back that Brock Purdy deserved the starting job, which is a strange thing for him to say.
Deserve? All right. Anyway, Washington. I'll circle back real quick to Washington. Chase Young. They were asked about Chase Young, who obviously was drafted, came into the league as a high first-round pick, a potential generational talent on the edge. His fifth-year option needs to be picked up. And I thought it was interesting hearing this when we talk about what's going on with the sale and ownership and how that affects a team when you're trying to get ready for a new season and build toward the future. Here's what Ron Rivera said.
It's one of those things that you've got to really think it through. You've got to be able to plan it out. And with the situation we're in right now, waiting on, like everybody else, to find out, you know, ownership, we got to kind of drag our feet a little bit until we get to that point and find out, you know, do we have to find out from whoever the new ownership. But to be honest, if there's a new owner, we have to go to them and find out. You know what I'm saying? It's so I don't know at this point.
I mean, when the head coach is saying things like we have to drag our feet a little bit and we have to wait before a deal, and it's the sale of it's like an upwards of $10 billion sale. These things don't happen overnight quickly. The whole organization is in gridlock right now, it feels like.
$6 billion, right? $10 billion was succession. They got 10.
I think literally that's where I came from. From the fake CNN.
I'm trying to think of the name of the
And by the way, the conservative
bought.
Network is ATN, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's annoying. I think they paid too much.
I do not care what the Washington Post says. Anyway, so that is interesting.
It's crazy. And Rivera, they asked about this all happening, you know, under his tenure. It's been kind of a wild tenure for Ron Rivera, and he just said par for the course.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the first, like, he was a good hire for a team in chaos because he's Ron Rivera and because he's handled all this so well. This sounds like frustration because it's his family, it's all these other people's families around the building where none of them know if they're going to be employed a year from now, and they've, if of any team in the league, they've been let down by their ownership.
He also came out publicly and was quoted saying on Tuesday, we do not have this sound, but I do have the quote, that quote, I'm a Big Bang Theory guy. Big Bang Theory guy.
I'm like the show. I'm in Bang Theories too, in terms of like when we're discussing people being on the short end of things, but he means the television program.
Big Bang Theory guy. You don't know how to say it. It's like rebound.
Well, that's what he called it. That's funny.
I don't know what the context was for that, but
not necessary.
It just
works as it is for us.
I thought it was interesting that on the same day that Sean Payton and George Payton, not related, not spelled the same, but working together,
Probably annoying for both men.
Yeah. Spoke about Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. And Sean Payton said, we are not trading them. And George Payton said, we're not interested in trading them. And on the very same day, there was reporting from Denver media that was like, well, unless they get like a better offer.
Here's Payton's exact words.
I think it's pretty common every offseason. New coach, not a real deep receiver draft. Look, I've been, you read a bunch of these things that are written now, and I would say a number of teams have called on these players.
It's early.
But I said it yesterday, that it's not something we're interested in doing.
It's one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever stayed at in my life, maybe the nicest I've ever been in. And it has pools and various areas, huge open green sunning areas. I believe there's a golf course.
There is.
Bars here, there, and everywhere. In other words, it's a wonderful place to spend a night before the coach's breakfast.
Hmm. We, Greg and I were there 1 year, and we saw Bill Belichick and Linda Holiday returning from a heated one-on-one tennis battle with each other. Is that where we saw Anderson Cooper as well, Greg?
Yes,
when
sweating
we went
and panting.
On a run. We've milked. I mean, the
we've hit that one pretty hard over the year.
If you're a new listener, it's new information.
The expenses that we incurred were so worth it for NFL media just for how many times we've gotten to use this story. Anyway, I just find it funny that the way Payton gets around. I mean, it's essentially lying if it was any other business. But he's like, I've read those things. It's like we know where they're coming from. Literally, the same person. That, you know, is quoting Payton and asking these questions. Mike Kliss from 9 News in Denver said from a source that the Broncos wouldn't deal unless it was a second rounder for Sutton or a first for Jeudy. So there's a very specific price. They're not getting that price. At this point, they've got to kind of put the toothpaste back into the tube. But at some point, I don't know. I'd give up a second but the only, for Courtland the only Sutton. Thing, I know he gets a lot of money, so it's a lot.
If you're Sean Payton, though, and you've got to try to fix what happened last year on offense, stripping away wide receivers. He did mention it's not a great draft. They don't have any draft picks. Like, there is a world where it's like stick with these guys versus emptying the cupboard entirely.
Yeah, just that report just gave me an idea. There's a very specific price for those guys. Don't know if they'll get it. A first for Jeudy seems unlikely. Second for Sutton.
Who is giving a first for Jerry Jeudy?
Hell no.
Probably not. I do like Jerry Jeudy.
Any other sound, guys? Any other? I have one other bit of news that came out of Arizona.
I mean, we've got the proposals.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right, let's talk about the NFL owners vote in favor of letting players wear number 0.
I love this.
The league voted Tuesday to allow all players other – this sucks for the big men, though.
Yeah.
Other than offensive and defensive linemen to wear the jersey number 0. I always like who submitted the proposal to. The Eagles submitted it. It also allows kickers and punters to use any jersey numeral between 0 and 49 and 90 to 99. That bothers me a little bit. Do you want your place kicker out there at number 93?
Maybe.
Is he making
Maybe.
The f-ing kick?
No. I don't know. I kind of like it. Like,
he's not making the kick.
I'm a little surprised that this playful little rule just swept right through. I'm really happy that it did. Wow. I feel for the behemoths, though, that they have
Who?
To have
what?
The offensive and defensive linemen.
It's another Sessler word.
What?
The behemoths?
I say behemoth.
Behemoth.
Calvin Ridley, by the way, tweeted, excited to be the first Jaguars player to wear 0. Shout out to Jags Equip. Wow, the equipment guys have a Twitter handle.
I love it.
We did learn, though, that like this was as low octane of rules changes, I feel
well,
like.
Well, we led with number 0.
No, I like that. Yeah, that was honestly the most interesting thing that actually passed. The other things that passed were quite minor, making tripling penalty a personal foul. They were like tweaking what the definition of launch means. You can't benefit from the extension of the first half as a result of a penalty. Basically, you can't intentionally commit a penalty at the end of the first half, which I did think happened once last year, and then get to run another play. But the interesting things didn't happen.
Can I have one more that did happen?
Sure.
Because I think it will come into play and will be interesting. The NFL also voted to expand instant replay to allow for a review on failed fourth down attempts.
So it's typically...
I'd approve of that.
That's automatic review then on a failed fourth down attempt. It usually is for scoring plays and turnovers. And I guess a fourth down attempt that fails is a kind of a turnover, so there's logic to it.
That's good. I don't know where that one came from.
Submitted by the Texans.
They did not approve the punt touchback, which I like that idea. They were going to make punt. If you hit the ball into the end zone with a punt, mm-hmm. it goes back to the 25. That didn't happen. They tabled once again the rule where you try the 4th and 20.
Yes, the onside kick.
They keep tabling it, though. They want to talk about it again.
I like that. But they rejected making a personal foul penalty in terms of hitting the quarterback reviewable, which I really thought might happen, and they didn't even get close.
And that's to me, the whole thing's a failure. Until they finally let common sense prevail, that is going to continue. Not just the quarterback, I also think for any type of targeting type foul on these vicious hits that are happening in a game that is moving so fast that can swing a contest in terms of it could be a 4th and 20 and there's a hit over the middle or a quarterback gets taken down and it should be a turnover. And instead it's not only just a first down, a 15-yard gain for the offense. If it's a play that could be that consequential, take a look. It doesn't happen all that often where it should really I think maybe the pace of play is something that they have an eye on that they're trying to protect as well. And that could be coming into play, but I think it's too important to ignore.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, over the last number of years, they've been reactive to rule changes that, you know, blow up playoff games, become talking points on Twitter. And the roughing the passer thing, to me, fell right into that territory, and I think it's a lost opportunity.
The Lions had some great ideas. You said you like seeing who
I do
who proposes it. The Lions were money. They wanted to get more opportunities to get another challenge. Basically, if you keep getting your challenges right, you get a third. They rejected that. You know, that's lame. And then they also wanted to be able to challenge personal fouls. That it's similar to the quarterback one, but basically any personal foul that you could be able to challenge that, since that's such a big penalty. Mm. And they ended up taking that away. They withdrew it because they knew it wasn't going to pass. Holding down our Lions, just like you two suppressors are doing.
Don't put me in the anti-Lions camp. I love the Lions.
At first, when we were at the season and Jamal Williams was there, we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to run it back. We were talking about running it back that night, you know, or the Packers night. And now
we were riding
just falling high.
We were riding high apart in that moment.
What world do you live in, Greg?
It's a beautiful one. Sunny.
I should mention as well, not connected to the owners' meetings, the Seahawks reached a one-year, $7 million deal to bring back Bobby Wagner, coming off a all-pro season with the Rams. I love it. Everyone loves it. You like to see the homegrown guys that had long careers stay there the whole time. He went to L.A. in a weird scenario.
It's like his John Lennon year when he broke up with Yoko and just
exactly.
Now he's back to
and I think he was second team All Pro, but didn't seem to have a huge market. So maybe that's a little bit something where you squint, like how good was he last year, and now he's a year older. But if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, you're loving it.
1 year, $7 million turned into like the kind of Mick contract for like really good but aging players, especially linebackers. Levante David got the same thing. Although there's been some reports questioning how, like, if this was an up to $7 million or guaranteed $7 million. Like, Seahawks fans were complaining way too much about this. Just be happy you got Bobby Wagner back. Come on.
I like this little nugget. Remember we talked about the report cards for all these teams and how the Cardinals were absolutely flamed by their own players for everything from the cafeteria.
The uneven floors and whatnot.
Yeah, just a hot mess. But Jonathan Gannon has been working very closely with Michael Bidwell, the owner, to work on some of that stuff. And he said he's never even read the report card. But he's like, we're doing things differently.
He's never read the report card?
That's what he said. It's not reactive off the report card. He doesn't care about it, but he already saw
no
things.
No need to even look at it.
I know he wasn't there, so I guess that's not as obnoxious. For a second, I thought you meant Bidwell.
I think Bidwell, if anything, was getting credit from Gannon for proactively wanting to work on things. So that's a pro for, I don't know if they pay for coffee in that building, but it sounded like it.
One little thing that kind of did bubble up was the Herbert contract talks have started. It's like, I do like it when they're like just one day Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert hopefully just like sign a big contract and it's not this like long running story.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I have my doubts when it comes to Burrow just because it's the Bengals, but prove me wrong, Bengals.
It is interesting not to endlessly go in the cycle of talking about the Lamar contract. If Herbert or Burrow, and I wonder if some of this is tied into everyone waiting to see how the Lamar saga unfolds. If those guys don't get fully guaranteed contracts, like,
but that ship has sailed. No one thinks he has a chance to get a fully guaranteed contract, Lamar, at this point.
Yeah,
Lamar is saying
guys?
Publicly.
What about these guys?
Well, I would assume they won't either. But I would assume they'll get more guaranteed money than Kyler Murray got. Feels like the logic,
Lamar should be going
at the
to
very
the
little starting point.
Lamar should be going to the Falcons, but the team decided that Desmond Ridder and Tyler Heinicke are their guys. And Arthur Smith said Tuesday that the second-year pro Ridder will begin the season as the team's starting quarterback. The plan is to start Desmond. That's our plan going forward.
I think
right
that's coming
now.
From the owner
that's
on
a spicy meatball.
I'm really looking forward to at some point this offseason. I got to just watch. We got to all just watch all the Desmond Ridder throws.
I promise you, I must because
from 2022.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
And then we'll come in with some fiery hot takes. It's going to be an exciting week. It would maybe just make it Desmond Ridder week.
Well, his last two games, he did improve, but it's a
this
stretch.
This is a disturbing and ominous headline from ESPN. Seahawks' Pete Carroll quashes talk of Jamal Adams' demise.
Mm.
It seems pretty heavy.
Fiery headline.
How
about just like job security?
He does seem. There were a couple little receiver moves that could matter. DJ Chark got $5 million from the Panthers. I mean, at this point, he has a chance at least to be their number one receiver, so at least it's worth noting. Or number two, he's going to play. Nelson Aguilar is a member of the Baltimore Ravens. So,
they are making
moves. Come on back, Lamar.
Why did the Ravens specialize in signing underwhelming wide receivers?
I actually think that's a good contract. 1 for 3.5 for Nelson Aguilar, who's, you know, he's got some juice left.
He made
a couple amazing plays last year.
Again.
I mean, everyone that was with the Patriots, you almost can throw out that year. I mean, I'd rather have him than Devontae Parker, who the Patriots are paying like $6 million to. Just saying.
All right. Anything else?
Taylor Rapp to the Bills. We're really...
Bang.
Will
Anything
you ever
else?
Stop talking, Greg?
Making sure we're covered.
All right, good. I think we covered it. Let's get this bad boy out to the public. Again, a reminder that Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, draft guru, they call him. At least that's what the teenagers call him. He'll be on this show tomorrow in a draft special for Around the NFL, so be there for that. And then we'll have another show later this week with the great Colleen Wolf, because we're getting her every week. Are you noticing that?
That's a great trend.
The summer of Connie has been compromised. Let's go. That's what we do. We compromise summers. All right. Until we meet again, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.